Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's go to the intro music for the Pirates manager.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's time for the Derek Sheldon Show. Now, the Derek Sheldon Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Pirates manager Derek Shelton is on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. Shelty brought to you by Moosehead Beer, fiercely independent. Shelty, how are you today?
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
Doing quite well. Beautiful day for baseball. Let's start with a couple of enjoyable notes here. The Troy Stokes Jr. story has been a lot of fun for me to watch. Interviewed after the game last night, got his first hit. What was the celebration like when I imagine I've seen these before, although I haven't been inside the clubhouse, but when the doors open, somebody who did something he did gets, he's last to come into the clubhouse and everybody's greeting him at the door. Was that the case last night?
Yeah, I think, we honored him and gave him the ball. And then I think there may or may not have been some sort of beer shower. I wasn't in there, but I saw guys collecting it pretty quickly. So things like that are pretty cool, and I think his family was here, not only first hit, but first RBI, and, you know, played a big part in us winning the game last night.
Derek, you hate wasting that beer, don't you?
Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves. I wish we could figure out a different way to do it. Maybe just, you know, use something else, but I'm not a huge fan of wasting beer.
Your pitcher gave you a nice game last night, didn't he? And he's been giving you a bunch of nice starts, Brubaker.
Yeah, he pitched really well for us this year. Last night, another good start. You know, we got the lead early, and Winker hit a 3-2 pitch out, and Brew came right back, you know, struck out the next two guys, was consistent all night long. So, you know, six really strong innings for us, and he's been really consistent for us all year long.
I hate to compare him to Keller, but it's sort of hard not to when it's two young pitchers who you're going to be, I would imagine, depending on for a few years to come. So what has Brubaker been able to do that Mitch is still struggling to do?
Well, I think, going after guys, and that's the biggest thing. I think we've seen with Mitch where it's been inconsistent. We've seen starts where, you know, he's really commanded the zone and starts where he hasn't. And one of the things Brew has done a really good job of is commanding and staying in the zone and trusting his stuff. And, you know, that's something that Mitch is continuing to work on.
Derek, how hard is it to be patient? General managers, coaches have always told me the hardest thing in your business is to be patient. You want results like everybody else does, but you know it takes time sometimes. How hard is it to be patient, and what is your theory? I mean, I always, you know, when guys get sent down, it's not necessarily the end of the world. Mickey Mantle was sent down at one point. What's your theory on patience and sending guys down?
Well, I think you have to be patient, and, you know, we've been talking about this for 2 years. We really have to focus on getting better, and I think coming into, you know, this position, both myself and Ben and I knew this was going to take time, and you have to have patience, and you have to have positivity in doing that. In terms of sending guys down, that's the worst part of this job. You know, sending guys down or telling them that, you know, they're not going to be with the club anymore, that's a part of this job that really is not good. Sometimes, you know, we're sending guys down for a good reason. There's things they have to work on, you know, maybe not good for them, but organizationally, there's things they have to work on. So when they do come back up, they're going to, you know, be in a better position. But I think positivity and communication is the thing that goes along with patience.
Pirates manager Derek Shelton on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. We're going a little early today because the Pirates have an early start. So, Shelty, last year when we asked you about a leader, like who do the guys sort of gravitate toward, you didn't hesitate and said Jameson Taillon. Who is that guy so far this year? Is there a guy?
Yeah, I don't know if there's one guy. I think in different facets of our club, there's different people that guys go to. And, you know, it may be a situation, I think, as we've talked about before, I think leaders come organically. I don't think you can anoint a guy and say, like, hey, this is what you're going to do, because some people don't embrace those roles and some people do. And I think players will tell you that, just like the players, you know, when I got the job here, kind of told me it was J-Mo. And so I think that's one of the things as we continue to grow, we're still kind of working through.
Do you want there to be a guy? And if so, who could you imagine developing into that?
Yeah, I don't think I really want there to be one guy. I think I want there to be guys. And as we continue to build around, you know, the people we have here, I think some of those guys will step up. And I would never, like, say, hey, I want you to do this role, because I've been around really good players that aren't comfortable in that role. And I've been around guys that are utility guys that are really comfortable and people look at them. So I don't think it has to be one specific guy. And I think as we continue to grow here, you know, we'll have guys that step into that role.
Derek, your lineup today is interesting, as they used sometimes are day games after night games. I know the fans are saying, where's Frazier? Where's Reynolds? You realize it's a marathon, not a sprint here, and you can't play these guys every day, but I have to assume sometimes it's tough not writing those names in.
Yeah, it's challenging when you have two of your regular guys. In Frazier's case, he and I talked in Chicago moving forward, because we're in the stretch of, you know, 11 games or whatever. And we chose one in the middle, and we chose the day game after the night game. And then with Brian, I mean, as you guys saw from watching this, he missed the two games in Chicago with some lower body soreness. And to your point, you know, it is a marathon, and to run him night, day after that, just didn't feel that it was wise. You know, we also have to get some of our bench players in there in situations, because it is a National League game and they're going to pinch hit. So you got to try to get them consistent at bats. And it is difficult not to write those guys' names in there, but we can't go to the point where we end up breaking one of them and then we're missing them for a longer period of time.
You have Polanco batting cleanup today, and at least judging by the numbers, this just does not appear to be getting better. He's off to a rough start this month as well. Shelty, is there something beyond the numbers here? Do you see any signs that encourage you with Polanco?
Well, I think we're seeing aggressiveness of the swings, and, you know, he's missed 4 or 5 days, so I think we need to see him get work back in there.
You know, Joe asked you about Keller as opposed to Brubaker. I'm going to ask you about Cahill as opposed to Anderson. Anderson has been really good for you. Cahill, not so much. What do you see the differences there?
Well, I think Cahill's struggles have been, you know, predominantly in the first inning. And, you know, speaking off his last start in Chicago, I thought he got some bad luck. I mean, he's a pitch-to-contact guy. And the last start in Chicago, he gave up some ground balls that got through. And, you know, for the older school guys, I know they would say he just had bad luck. I think overall, Anderson has been outstanding for us, as you pointed out, Cookie. You know, really executing the pitches. The one thing where Trevor struggled at times is command of the breaking ball, and if that's not there, then he gets in trouble a little bit.
Okay, a guy struggles in the first inning consistently. What can you do? I mean, he can't warm up longer. He can't warm up shorter. What do you do to try to attack that?
Yeah, you can do a couple different things in terms of what the bullpen setting is or execution of pitches. I think the main thing is just having conversations about not being too fine in those first innings.
I still can't believe you throw out the Cookie, but Cookie won't throw out a Shelty. Ron, are you getting closer?
Are you getting closer
to calling him Shelty with that?
I tried, and I actually did not comment on that he used Mickey Mantle as the example of being sent out. I did not comment on that or the age of, like, that was the guy he used.
You know what? That is
another,
a real cheap
you're
shot
You're not getting
on
Shelty
your
now.
That's a That's, real cheap shot on your part. Mickey Mantle was sent down famously, and he was going to quit, and his dad said, you're out of your mind. You're not going to quit, and I think everybody was pretty happy that he didn't. That's not an old, I guess it is an old-time reference.
Yeah, I didn't comment on it. I let it go, and I know the story. I mean, Mickey Mantle was one of my dad's favorite players, so, like, yeah, I let it go. You use Mantle. I didn't say anything.
Tell us, in layman's terms, if you would, Shelty, Kevin Newman was so good last year. He's struggling at the beginning of this season. So as you analyze this, as a guy who spent a lot of your adult life analyzing hitters, what do you see?
Well, I think we came into, you know, he had a really good spring training, came into the season, kind of got away from some of the things he was doing in spring training, and I think we're starting to see him get it back, you know, back to it. Last night he hit the triple, he hit the line drives to right field, just making sure he uses the whole field and not, you know, not trying to do too much at the plate. And on the flip side, you know, he's played so well defensively for us this year and has really, I mean, really done a nice job there. But offensively, I think he got away from the things he was doing in spring training. I think we're starting to see that get back. You know, like I said, the line drive, the second baseman yesterday, the triple in the gap. You know, those are the things that that we need to look for.
You know, he didn't have a good spring. He had an unbelievably fabulous spring. How much do you weigh spring training results? Do you know it's going to be different once the bell rings?
Well, I think you definitely know it's going to be different because spring training, there's a lot of other factors, and that's both ways. You know, you see guys that have great springs that don't get off to good starts and guys that don't hit anything in the spring and then, you know, get off to torrid starts. The one thing that happens once we get into the regular season is there's a ton of other factors. You're playing every day. You know, the weather's not beautiful like it is, and you get cold. You know, you're starting to see the back end of regular bullpens instead of maybe guys that are going to AAA. So there's a ton of factors that come in there. The one thing you have to make sure as a hitter, as a hitting coach, is guys don't adjust off what they were doing. And I think we see mechanically when guys get off to rough starts is they think, oh my gosh, I got to change something and do something different. And it's the exact opposite. You need to stay with what you've worked on in the wintertime, what you've worked on in spring training, and kind of build off it.
You're listening to the Derek Shelton Show here on 93.7 The Fan. So Adam Frazier got his first home run last night. And afterwards, somebody asked about the baseball this season that sort of a lot of people think is a deadened baseball. And Frazier didn't dismiss the idea that could be the case this season. We saw in April, not just with his home runs, but sort of in general, we saw in April, Shelty, that home runs were down. And I'm wondering what you've seen as far as what the baseball is like this season.
The baseball is a little different this year. It seems to have a little bit of higher seams to it, which can account for, you know, more spin on fastballs, more spin on breaking balls, and then, you know, just a little bit of drag on the ball. So I think we are seeing, you know, a little bit difference in that in terms of how offense has been affected early on.
You know, I've been meaning to ask you this, and obviously baseball is different than the other sports because you play 162 as opposed to now 17 in the NFL, 82 in the NHL. I mean, how do you get over losses like the other night, 14-1, yet you go home and you know you're going to play again the next day and you give up two runs the next day? The roller coaster to me must be amazing sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to what you guys pointed out at the beginning of the show is patience. And you know you're going to play tomorrow. You know, sometimes the 14-1 or 10-1 games are easier to wash away than the 3-2 loss or, you know, a 1-0 loss. So those tight games where there's a lot of things that go on where you can sit back and reflect, you know, okay, we should have done this differently. We could have done this differently if a ball would have bounced this way or if we would have executed a pitch. But I think the one thing about it is, and we try to teach our players short-term memory. I mean, 30 minutes after the game, win or lose, you need to move on because we're playing tomorrow and we have to refocus on, you know, what we're doing the next day. And if you dwell too much on it or let it linger mentally, then it affects you the next day. And we just can't let that happen.
Getting back to the baseball, or at least to what happened in the first month of the season, I think the league-wide batting average, Shelty, was something like .233, which was the lowest mark of all time. We still see tons and tons of strikeouts. I don't remember if I asked you this before, but Theo Epstein spoke of this idea of moving the mound back. Would you be in favor of that? Have pitchers gotten too far ahead of the hitters?
I don't think pitchers have gotten too far ahead of the hitters. I think there's a couple. Well, number one, am I in favor of that? No, I am not. I am not in favor of that at all. I'm not in favor of it for a couple reasons. I don't think we should mess with that distance. It's been that way for forever. You know, so number one, no, not a fan of that. Number two, I think what you're seeing is the specialization of pitchers. You know, starting pitchers don't go as long. There's more relief pitchers with, you know, better stuff. And then I think the other thing, and I know we've talked about this, is, and I have strong thoughts on it, is the game is even coming up is glorified by home runs, and strikeouts are not a thing that matters anymore. And as we continue to teach, you know, at the youth level, high school, college level, like, we've got to make sure that the game is taught. And I think we've gotten away from that. And because of that, we're seeing the results of that at the big league level. And we need to get back to a, you know, more traditional style of baseball.
All right, I'm going to give you another old man's reference here, so I'm just giving you the warning. And this is play devil's advocate to what you just said a little bit. What was it, 1968? They changed lowered the mound because Bob Gibson and so many pitchers were unhittable. Is that not similar to maybe changing the distance to the plate?
Yeah, I don't really think, and I'm going to go with you, that was also Denny McClain too, right? So I can be old. I don't think lowering or heightening the mound is as much of a factor as moving the distance back. You know, I think when you move the distance back, you're changing the structure of the game. You know, it'd be like, do you want the bases to be 100 feet instead of 90 feet because there's a lot of close plays? Now, I can understand at times if we put, a double base at first base because of the running in the lane or the mound goes up or down. But in terms of moving the distance of it, just not a fan of it.
With your current first base situation and how it's evolved over the past week or so, Shelty, a lot of people bringing up Will Craig's name. Do you guys feel like he deserves a shot, like he's ready for a shot?
Yeah, I think Will is definitely a guy that's an option. Right now we're staying with Phil over there, and we hope to get Colin back in the near future. But, you know, we'll continue to monitor what Will's doing in Indy, and you know, there's a chance at some point he could, run into the mix again.
How about Pujols? We get a lot of calls saying, hey, the Pirates can pick him up. It won't cost them anything but the major league minimum that the Angels are going to, be paying for him, and maybe his leadership and been there, done that. You know, he would turn heads in the room, I would think. Did you guys consider him at all? And I don't know if he would even want to come here.
Yeah, we have not discussed him. He has not been in a discussion of any of the ones I have. I mean, I think you're right. He would definitely turn heads if he walked in the room.
Wondering, Shelty, if you had any impressions. I think, is his name Ronzi Contreras, the young pitcher who threw 6 no-hit innings for you guys? I think last night at Altoona, the guy who came over as part of the Tyone trade.
Yeah, I mean, I wish you guys could see me right now because you just put a big smile on my face. Yeah, 6 innings, no hit, 2 walks, was perfect through 5, 10 punch-outs through 5 on 50 pitches. Yeah,
wow.
So, yeah, that made me smile. I have seen some snippets of it. Got to see him at the end of spring training. Ball jumps out of this kid's hand, and, really happy for the start he's off to. And, yeah, I'm very, very well aware of what those guys are doing.
All right, we'll finish with this, Shelty. If the Oakland A's move, or if there's expansion at some point with Major League Baseball, these are the cities that have been mentioned so far. I want you to give me your favorite one. Nashville, Portland, Vancouver, Charlotte, North Carolina, Montreal, and Vegas. Where would Derek Shelton like to go on a road trip, perhaps, with the Pirates?
Oh, where would I like to go on a road trip? Vancouver.
Me too.
Everybody I've ever talked to said it's one of the most beautiful cities in North America. So Vancouver would be Vancouver would definitely be the one I'd take a road trip. I've never been to Nashville, so I would like to go to Nashville too, but I've heard great things about Vancouver.
Man, it was my favorite NHL city. Ron, you ever been there?
I have never been there, but I heard the exact same thing. I've heard is the most beautiful city in North America.
Perhaps you and I, yeah, and Shelty could take a road trip out to Vancouver.
Yeah, we'll go on a roadie.
He could call you Shelty. You could call him Shelty.
I told
Shelty.
Him I'm going to call him Shelty as soon as I get to shake his hand. Right. I told him that, and I'm still waiting for that moment.
Thank you, Shelty.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Good luck today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.